present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Giles Brandreth and Barry Cryer in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Oh, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome again to Just a Minute. And this week, as you've heard, we have those two guests who did so well when they came together last time, Barry Cryer and Giles Brandreth. And they've come back to pit their wits, their brains and their verbal ingenuity against our two regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. Once again, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Let us begin the show this week with Giles Brandreth. Giles, the subject is a bad joke. That leaves plenty of scope, and there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Coming here today, a bad joke occurred to me. I arrived at the underground station. There was this enormous sign that said dogs must be carried on the escalator. Well, it took me 40 minutes to find one because I was not travelling during peak hour. I heard a bad joke from a most unlikely quarter the other day when the Archbishop of Canterbury got up in his cathedral pulpit and said, "Hold on, chaps, we have been through far worse before. Remember that great and good man Noah who managed to float a limited company when the rest of the world was going into liquidation." Now, this sort of bad joke is not what we expect from softly Runcie. We expect something a little bit more spiritual and uplifting. I don't know whether bad jokes are good for the soul or not, but I think that when you get clergymen doing this, it is a disgrace. My great-grandfather, you know, was a Bow Street runner, and my great-grandfather, of course, was a Bond Street walker. Now, this strange duality of the pair of them is quite unwholesome and unhealthy, and the trouble is...
Barry Cryer has challenged.
Did I imagine it, or was it repetition of great-grandfather?
It was repetition, and I'm surprised no one picked him up quicker.
I'm sorry, my great-grandparents were funny that way. That meant the bad joke.
So Barry got the correct challenge. He gets a point for that, and there are 6 seconds for you to talk about bad jokes, Barry, starting now.
My favourite bad joke concerns a turtle and a gypsy woman. Down the road came a...
Well, when Ian Messiter blows his whistle, he tells us 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Barry Cryer, and at the end of the first round in this particular show, Barry is the only one to have scored any points. Barry, would you like to take the next round? The subject is kites. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Kites are birds of prey of the hawk family. Alternatively, kites are...
No, you can say it. You can repeat the word on the card.
He was hesitating.
But Giles has challenged you.
The interruption was hesitation, not repetition.
Yes.
Ah,
right.
Fair enough.
But you can repeat the word on the card, Barry. I know you haven't played the game for a long time, but...
I know.
Giles actually got you for hesitation, which is correct. So, Giles, another point to you, and you take over the subject with 53 seconds on kites, starting now.
I flew my kite most recently on a trip to Northern Ireland, where I had gone to get away from it all. Indeed, I had actually gone there to finish my...
Barry Cryer.
Gone.
Yes, you'd gone too far. Repeated yourself. There are 46 seconds for you, Barry, on kites, starting now.
The word is also applicable in the colloquial sense to aeroplanes, being used in that idiomatic connotation to describe the vessels in which...
Giles, you challenge.
Well, not hesitation, surely.
This is my capacity as the Mother Teresa of this entertainment. I'm doing it sort of to help you out.
Sister Teresa.
Can I ask something? Are you two going to play the rest of the game all by yourselves?
No, we're just going to announce our engagement and leave.
We're just waiting for Clement and Kenneth to arrive.
Yes, sir. Giles, 35 seconds on kites, starting now.
The reason I was actually...
Clement has arrived. Yes, what is it?
Just I've arrived.
So we won't charge for that. 33 seconds on kites with you, Giles, starting now.
In fact, I was in that part of our beautiful principality because I was there to finish my novel, being a very, very slow reader. And it was all about a man who has a kite.
Clement Freud challenged.
Oh, everything. Repetition of very and Northern Ireland is not our principality.
So, Clement, you have the subject of kites, and there are 25 seconds starting now.
In industry, a kite is something you float, like when you say, shall we run this up the flagpole and see who will salute? A sort of exploratory, industrial...
Giles.
The train has arrived very late indeed.
not a challenge.
No, there were several hesitations.
Yes, yes, as we were waiting for it to run up the flagpole. And so, right, there was hesitation. Kites, this is back with you, Giles. 14 seconds starting now.
The kite is the most vicious of all the birds of prey. One sees it swooping and swirling over northern Wales. And when one sees it there, one is appalled because it may well descend.
Clement Roy, challenge.
One sees it.
One sees. Yes. You had sees again. Yes. 4 seconds, Clement. Kites starting now.
I think one of the most splendid developments in the kite is that you can now steer them.
So Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point. And the end of that round, he and Barry Crown and Giles Brandreth all have 3 points. Kenneth Williams doesn't have any, and Clement Freud begins the next round. In fact, we haven't yet heard from Kenneth, which is very unusual, but we'll make up for it later, I've no doubt. Clement, the subject is happiness. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Happiness is not hearing from Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, deviation is...
Absolutely.
Incidentally, I've arrived.
And happiness now reigns throughout the audience. I would agree. Happiness is when we do hear from Kenneth Williams. So, Kenneth, you have the subject, and there are 57 seconds starting now.
Happiness can be a puppy or a little kitten, or sometimes people...
Barry Crowe challenge.
Repetition of awe.
You had 3 awes very rapidly there, yes.
A surfeit of awes.
52 seconds for you, Barry, on happiness, starting now.
Happiness is rhubarb and custard with the judicious introduction of mandarin oranges plunging, sinking to the bottom of the bowl, inviting the tongue and the palate, the taste buds to savour therein. The spoon
is... Williams challenge.
7 verses.
I'll have my verse and you have your oars.
So, hoisted on your own guitar, Barry.
True.
You're going to travel on the challenge on the
little very true.
Kenneth gets back. And 37 seconds, happiness, Kenneth, starting now.
A lady once said to me, I'm so happy when I see that wonderful canvas sunset over Godalming. That moment brings back to me such transient, lucid memories of days of yore when I was a young girl running through the dewy grass and people ran through my hair.
Through.
Yeah, ran through. Barry, you have 12 seconds on happiness starting now.
Or in addition, Blackpool.
Clement Freud challenge.
Another ore.
Yeah, but he didn't have ore before. It was Kenneth who had 3 ores.
This is mine.
This is his own personal ore. There are 10 seconds on happiness. Still with you, Barry. Starting now.
A stick of Blackpool rock written thereon all the way through the name of the resort, titillating
Clement
to the...
Clement Roy challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so.
Pardon?
Pardon? Hesitation.
That was a meaningful pause.
Well, the way you were delivering, there wasn't a great deal of meaning to your style at that particular moment.
That's very hurtful.
I know, but we
very
are like
hurtful.
That in just
I
a
mean...
minute. You know, we try to needle them to get them going, and
it's all right, carry on.
Barry, Clement got in with 2 seconds to go on happiness, starting now.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
So, in spite of Clement getting the Freud for speaking when the whistle went, Barry Crowe is still out in the lead, one ahead of him. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, Clytie. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I can tell you something about Clytie, indeed, because she was one of the daughters of Ahamos, the king of Babylon. And according to Greek mythology, she was loved by Helios, the god of light. Now then, he fancied a sister, which caused her considerable anguish and anger. So she went to her dad and told him what was going on. Whereupon the monarch had this poor girl buried alive. And even the God of light fails to get enough.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of God.
Yes, you mentioned the God before, God Helios before, and now you have the God of light. So I'm sorry, it's repetition, Kenneth. And Clement's got in with 6.5 minutes to go on Clytie starting now.
Is this the Chinese version?
This is the one to confuse them in Peking, yes. Clement, you've got about 6.5 seconds to go on Clytie starting now.
And so it came to pass that on the first day of spring, Clytie went to her master, prostrated herself on the marble.
Kenneth chanced just before the whistle.
Yes, it didn't. She didn't prostrate herself on the first day of spring at all. It was the very, very, very other season that she prostrated herself.
But yes, how do we know that Clement wasn't talking about another Clytie?
No, he didn't know anything about her at all. He just really.
Oh, let's be generous and give
no,
it to
No, we're not being generous. I know about Clytie and I want to discuss it.
Clement might have been talking about Clytie. How am I know what Clytie was talking about? In the game, he can talk about any Clytie he knows.
You can't, because see, the whole point about if you really know about Clytie is to say that she was turned into the bush, which is today Heliotrope.
No, if the subject was Clytie from Greek mythology...
No, that she is Heliotrope. That's the whole point of it.
I'm going to put it to the audience. I'm not going to have this argument. If you agree with Kenneth, in other words, there's only one Clytie that we're talking about, but if it could be any Clytie, in which case you agree with Clement Freud, let us all either cheer for Kenneth and boo for Clement and all do it together now. You're prejudiced and biased, aren't you? Kenneth, they're on your side, so you take over the subject with half a second to go, starting now.
Yes, the poor girl became...
So,
no,
Kenneth...
She wasn't able to embroider. I should have been able to say that as the result of her anguish, she actually took root in the ground. That's the point of it, you see.
Yes.
Then that's what I wanted to make, you know, drive home to this audience, because in that Greek mythological sense, the whole point about someone like Clytie is that she's comparable to Echo, because Echo loves, what do you call it, Narcissus so much that she refuses to eat too, and she wastes away until only the voice is left wailing, and when your own voice comes back to you disembodied, you still say today, well, that's an echo, and that's why it's so very beautiful. That's why it's marvellous about Clytie being heliotrope now today. When you see it, you can know then that this is the girl.
So all the heliotrope we see in our gardens is all from this Clytie you've taken root.
That's the anguish is all there embedded.
Kenneth, you were speaking as the whistle went quite some time ago, and you got an extra point for that. You are third place. Clement's in the lead, one ahead of Barry Cryer, and Giles is just behind you. And Giles, your turn to begin. The subject, Giles, is burglars. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I have met quite a few burglars in my time, and I'm not speaking of the people from the Customs and Excise. I'm referring to actual legitimate criminals. Some years ago, I was visiting Bristol Prison, just passing through, I assure you, when I saw a couple of burglars, felons, playing Scrabble. And I thought how curious it is that those entertained at the Queen's pleasure should play the game that is, in fact, the favourite entertainment of the monarch herself. I met a burglar once who was pigeon-toed, which means that he was half a bird and half a toad. Now, this made it very difficult for him to conduct his particular kind of robbery, because he was a cat burglar, which meant that he would actually climb up onto roofs and in a feline way, troop about trying to get into windows, looking through the doors, and then he would pounce onto the bed and look under it, because there he was, a chamber pot burglar. This is what obsessed him. He went all over the world.
Well,
deviation. How could he be in 1 minute a cat burglar when he was pigeon-toed, and then suddenly he turns into a chamber pot burglar. I've never heard of
it. He wanted to grow cats in chamber pots so that one day they would inspire the world by being weeping pussies or weeping willows.
I think you're talking now a
lot. Nurse, he's out of bed again.
Yes. You had established. I agree with Kenny's challenge. There are 6 seconds for burglars with you, Kenneth, starting now.
It happened to me, and they pinched my old underpants, which would have fetched a fortune in Sotheby's, and I was absolutely mortified.
So Kenneth Williams has got some more points. He's moved ahead. He's equal with Barry Cryer in second place, 1 point behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud. It's a low-scoring game. Giles Brandreth is only 2 points behind our leader. Barry begins the next round, and the subject, rude rhymes. Barry, will you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
"You're an idiot, sir," said the girl to the chap one evening as they walked along. "You tell me that love is a pain in the neck. In that case, you're doing it wrong." This is...
Ha ha! doing? Keep doing. Just,
I would never talk through applause as a professional. As a professional artiste, you know that, Giles.
You can talk.
But it needed it. I wouldn't talk through these kind of
it
people.
It was a
applauding.
Seated ovation, and you hoped if you waited long enough, they'd get up.
Well, yeah.
You waited so long, several of them did get up, and they've now left.
Some of them lost the will to live during that. Is that counted as hesitation?
Yes, it is, but I'm not going to lie. We're going to hear some more rude rhymes from you. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. No points scored. 45 seconds left, starting now.
Well, he seems to have hesitated.
He does seem to have hesitated.
I thought somebody was going to clap, you see.
The gamut of his repertoire is one rude rhyme. Kenneth.
Apparently.
Yes. There are 44 seconds on rude rhymes with you starting now.
There was a young lady bride who ate some fruit and then died. The apple fermented inside the fermented made cider and cider inside.
Yes.
Repetition of inside.
Yeah, one was inside. Inside her, inside.
That's right.
Inside, yeah. Inside. Yes,
well
there were
done.
Two inside.
Well that's done. Right.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. I mean, if they had an intellectual playing this, me as the chairman, you would never get anywhere, would you? Kenneth, what are you doing to Clement Freud at this picking moment? I can't think of that. So, Clement, you have 37 seconds for rude rhymes. Tell the listeners that Kenneth is hiding behind Clement Freud, which is very strange from the position I regard them both, and it disturbed me very much. 37 seconds, Clement. Rude rhyme starting now.
The ideal rude rhyme for 37 seconds would consist of 35 of these being taken up with verbiage which was totally clean and proper, whereafter, just as the whistle was about to blow, some filthy epithet would tumble from one's lips. There was a young woman from Uppingham.
Giles, you challenged.
Yes, indeed. Well, with an election in the offing.
That wouldn't mean anything
I
in
know,
China,
don't...
would it? What would that mean? An election? What would they make of that?
An election. We're back
politician.
To China again.
Politicians stand there like anywhere else.
Yeah. And Nicholas Parsons keeps getting letters from China all the time, doesn't he?
Yes, they have elections every so often, don't they? And I think Giles actually challenged because he was why did you challenge?
There was hesitation.
None of us remember.
There was hesitation.
Oh no, it wasn't.
And
he was trying
was.
To time
knowledge.
Yes,
he was.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, if you've got to start and tie and time, I mean, I thought...
No,
you
no, no.
Oh, yes.
It's a perfectly legitimate...
The timing is the essence of politics.
No.
And he was trying to spin out this rude rhyme so he wouldn't be able to get out the
with
payoff...
With a 20-second pause between lines, no.
Well, I'm going to see if he can do it. So, Clement, you still have
Oh, this is monstrous. Could we turn to the audience, please?
Resign.
Clement, you still have rude rhymes. 13 seconds, starting now.
Young folk who frequent picture palaces have no use for psychoanalysis. And although Dr. Freud is distinctly annoyed, they cling to their long-standing fallacy.
So, Clement, you really deserve the point for speaking as the whistle went and getting out the payoff right on the button there, as you might say. And you have now taken the lead ahead of Kenneth Williams, but not many points separate all three who are trailing behind you. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject... I know, it's all getting out of hand, really, isn't it? The subject... Oh, it's marvellous, Clement. Things getting out of hand. Spoon bending. That's the next subject. It's all right. It's not as bad as all that. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Spoon bending is very trendy, and ideally you do it from a very great distance, like two ends of the universe, or one part of the ether from the other. Yuri somebody used to do it on the radio, which was terribly difficult because there was no way.
Kenneth will have a challenge.
Extension.
Yes, I think so too, Kenneth.
Really?
42 seconds on spoon bending with you, starting now.
It is an extraordinary phenomena because I watched.
Barry Cry challenged.
Phenomenon, isn't it?
One.
That's a phenomenon. Yes.
Phenomenon.
Yes.
One phenomenon, two phenomena.
No, I could have seen it done several times. What are you talking
Yes, it's still it is singular.
What's
so
the matter? We're not here to speak grammatically correctly. It doesn't matter how
well,
you
I know,
speak,
you...
as long as you speak for 60 seconds. So shut your mouth. Just silly. It's nitpicking. It's just ridiculous. Let's get on.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you, because if we had you up for grammatical errors all through, we'd
yes,
never...
Yes, they'd all be in the cart, wouldn't they, then?
Yes. Yes.
And as we've already established a few weeks ago that the people in China only listen to hear the good English, I think we should point out that we're going to let you have the benefit of the doubt.
We're going to yell before this.
38 seconds, spoon bending, Kenneth, starting now.
I watched it done on the television, and they got this fella from the university, a real professor, no messing about, to give his opinion. And he said, it's beyond me. It defies logical analysis. There is the metal actually bending in front of my eyes, and no heat, apparently, has been applied. Well, the fellow doing it, this fellow called Gavin.
Clement Troy challenge.
Repetition of fellow.
There were two fellows, I'm afraid, in rapid succession, Kenneth, so 5.5 seconds. Spoon bending, Clement, starting now.
Well, spoon bending, what is this phenomenon that we don't want to... is really terrific in that because... Well,
Clement got in before the whistle, kept it to the whistle, gained an extra point, increased his lead, and Kenneth William, who is just behind him in second place, is going to take the next round. And the subject, Kenneth, is what makes me come over all unnecessary. Clement got charged.
That's ungrammatical, too.
Mm. Absolutely.
The whole point of the question is, you quack fool, it's a colloquialism. You might as well say Bob's your uncle is ridiculous, because it doesn't mean okay at all, unless you've got an uncle called Bob and nobody has. But when they say, well, you're all right, Bob's your uncle, it means everything's fine. That's what it means. It's colloquial, you great fool. Great
yes.
Repetition of fool.
Right, let's get back to the game. Kenneth, the subject is what makes me come over all unnecessary. 60 seconds starting now.
Undoubtedly, it is something which produces an emotional effect, and then I find myself covered in embarrassment, and I do come over all unnecessary. I don't like people seeing me in this ignoble condition, because after all, we want, don't we, our dignity? And what do we, any of us, live for but our illusions and what do we ask of others?
Barry Crouch.
Deviation from the subject, we still haven't found out what makes Kenneth come over all unnecessary. He's describing his unnecessary state.
Yeah,
and the manifestations of the same and the symptoms,
about
but not what causes it.
Yes, not what makes me, but you were talking about your illusions and so forth. So, Barry, I agree with you, and you have 33 seconds on what makes me come over all unnecessary, starting now.
What makes me come over all unnecessary, i.e. embarrassed, is the confrontation with Kenneth, the master of wordplay, the silver tongue of this program, when I am guilty of a verbal colloquialism that is inaccurate, inept, maladroit, and has no place in the general tenor of my...
Clement Freud's challenge.
I don't like this boasting.
Oh, what a good challenge. Give him a bonus point. And as Barry wasn't deviating from the subject, he continues with what makes me come over all unnecessary. It's the last round. There are 14 seconds left, starting now.
The confrontation causes my skin to go crimson, the hair to prickle on the back of my neck, because I am embarrassed at a loss and unable to glean which way to turn.
Giles Brandreth has challenged.
Embarrassed, we had it before.
Yes, you did have embarrassed before. When you were speaking
yes.
before, that's right. Yes.
I remember.
So Giles has got in with only 2 seconds to go. What makes me come over all unnecessary, Giles? Starting now.
Mary had a little lamb. The doctors were surprised.
Well, as I said This was going to be the last round. Let me tell you that in the final analysis of this game, Charles Brandreth finished up in fourth place, just behind Barry Cryer, who was only 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who was a few points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. And we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, enjoyed listening to it as much as we've enjoyed playing it, and we'll be tuning in again when Just a Minute once more takes to the air and we all play this delightful game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.